Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This video is about relations between North Korea and Russia and their growing threat to world peace. Moreover, it's a proof of Russia's desperation that they should be obliged to resort to cuddling up to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Well, if you put democratic in your constitutional title, you know that you're undemocratic. So just a few days ago, it came to light that the DPRK had dispatched troops to Russia. They're training there, possibly to defend the Kursk region and maybe to cross over into Ukraine. The reports are already illegal in Ukraine. Now, obviously, the DPRK has been a Russian ally since 1945. Back then, it was Soviet ally. But as Putin never ceases to remind us, the Russian Federation is the chief successor state of the Soviet Union. So just days ago, Russia signed and ratified a defense treaty with the DPRK. The Russian State Duma passed it nemo contra. Well, I know it's a rubber stamp, but for them to pass something nem con is unusual. North Korea urgently needs oil and gas as well as food. That's why Pyongyang is soliciting Russian assistance. The North Korean regime, they also want assistance with long-range missiles and even satellites. And the reports that Russia's sent some technicians to help them in that regard. So when Japan surrendered on the 15th of August 1945, it was agreed they'd have to cede the Korean Peninsula, which they seized in 1890 and had annexed officially in 1910. But some Koreans never accepted that. Korea was divided along the 38th parallel. Two US Army officers were told by their superior to come up with a dividing line within 10 minutes. It was agreed that the Soviet Union would disarm the Japanese north of that line before repatriating to Nippon, and the United States would disarm the Japanese south of that line before repatriating them to Japan also. And the two army officers picked the 38th parallel. So this line of latitude was chosen. Why? It put the capital, Seoul, in the American zone, but to balance that, they gave the Soviets slightly more of the land. Anyway, so the Soviets established a communist regime in the north. Kim Il-sung was brought back. He'd been in the Soviet Union for some time. And indeed, his son was born in the Soviet Union, though they also pretend it was a Paetkusan, that mountain in North Korea who is born. That's actually not true. The United States brought back Syngman Rhee to North Korea. He'd spent decades in Hawaii running the Korean government in exile. So the US established the capitalist system in South Korea. I can't say it was democratic till the late 80s. Anyway, there was the Korean War, 1950-53. The United States led United Nations forces there to repel the communists who were backed by the Soviet Union. There was a proxy war. The USSR didn't itself fight. Actually, they sent a very small number of pilots, but they tried to keep that secret. So remember, South Korea is officially the Republic of Korea. So the DPRK is commonly called North Korea, is the second most underdeveloped country in Asia, is run on stringent Stalinist lines. It is a century behind South Korea. So North Korea is run by an extremely sadistic regime. It's a slave state. I mean, literally, tens of thousands of people enslaved for being political dissidents. This demented cult of the personality around Kim Jong-un, his late father, his late grandfather, a dead man is president. I'm not joking. His grandfather died 30 years ago, declared eternal president. Religion is criminalized, but there's a quasi-religious cult of the Kim dynasty, and that is compulsory. This egregiously cruel system is exactly the kind that Putin adores. It is violently oppressive, criminally insane, utterly intolerant, and it exploits its people to death. What's not to like? So the DPRK is a rogue state. It's trafficking drugs and arms around the world. It helped Pakistan acquire nuclear arms. It's involved in hacking banks around the world. But in the 1990s, when the USSR collapsed, this seemed to spell doom for North Korea. As we know, the regime limped on. North Korea was reliant on the USSR, but the North Korean regime starved millions of its people to death as it developed nuclear arms. So communist fellow travelers, and I've met one, told me it was all the fault of Uncle Sam. Well, why not open to the capitalist system? That's not going to happen. Or don't bother the nuclear weapons. The US gave food aid in return for a halt to nuclear testing under Bill Clinton. I mean, if that's giving into blackmail, well, it's not as bad as a nuclear war. Anyway, if capitalism is so bad, how come in North Korea their main problem with food is obesity? Anyway, there was no famine at the South. So by contrast, you can see South Korea is one of the most advanced economies in the world. You know, it's like $55,000 on average income. It's on parity with the United Kingdom. So the trouble is the South Koreans have grown accustomed to this soft and comfortable life. And North Korea's got all this artillery trained on South Korea's capital, Seoul. By the way, in the Korean language, Hangul, it just means capital. So the South Korean military, they can easily outclass North Korea technologically. But the fear that people have is South Korea isn't tough enough because they're used to luxury. And if the lights go out, if TV's taken off, the food shortages, you know, they would give up quite easily because they're just not used to suffering anymore. But life in North Korea is so harsh, war would scarcely make it any worse. So North Korea's nuclear missiles are getting longer and longer ranges. For over two decades, they've been firing the unarmed missiles over Japan and into the Pacific Ocean just to prove to the Japanese what they're capable of. So the nuclear missiles they possess are a mortal peril to South Korea. They don't have very many nuclear warheads, and their technology is great for all sorts of reasons. If even one of them strikes South Korea, that's several million people dead. So North Korea claims to be the rightful governor of the whole of Korea. If you look on the DPRK government websites, it shows the entirety of the peninsula as its national territory. Remember, DPRK is extremely hostile to Japan, behaves though the Second World War is still on. It deliberately stokes extremely bitter memories of Japanese rule. It accuses South Korea of being run by Japanese collaborators. In fairness, there was a certain logic to that argument in the early days, or even when Park Chung-hee was ruling in the 1970s. So what does the United States and international community do about North Korea's nuclear arsenal? You could have a nuclear preemptive strike, but the first strike would be illegal. It would set an extremely dangerous precedent. It might not completely annihilate North Korea's nukes. Anyway, you could send in special forces to try and destroy the nukes, but that could still cause a full-scale war without even taking out all the nuclear weapons. Sanctions have not been enough to stop North Korea continuously extending its range. By not taking decisive action, the situation deteriorates from a Western perspective. So what do? You know, you try and leverage Chinese sway, and that was sometimes semi-effective. And North Korea borders only two countries besides South Korea, which is effectively in truth the same country. Those are China and the Russian Federation. So 90% of North Korea's trade is with China, most of the rest with Russia. So North Korea has very few exports. The main one is coal. It also exports its people. North Koreans working for below minimum wage in the most remote and inhospitable regions of Russia, where it's very difficult to convince Russians to go for any salary. But most of the salaries that are paid to these North Korean slave laborers go to the regime. So it is wage slavery. But working in Russia is considered desirable. Men pay bribes to obtain these jobs. And if someone gets three meals a day, he's privileged. That's how horrific it is. Reminds me just how lucky I am. So most people are never allowed out of North Korea on the basis that they'd never come back if they could. The society is divided into three classes. Those whose descendants resisted the Japanese are the highest. Those whose descendants remain neutral under Japanese rule are intermediate. And those whose ancestresses and ancestors collaborated with the Nipponese are condemned to the lowest socioeconomic tier. So make no mistake, it's a totally inegalitarian society. The relatives of defectors are punished by enslavement. It is satanically cruel. In the United Nations General Assembly, North Korea is only five countries, one of only five countries, to vote against the resolution condemning Russia's illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. So Moscow is grateful for Pyongyang's stance, and therefore Russia knows they can rely on North Korean support. North Korea is trying to get something out of Russia's desperation. And that's why earlier this year, Putin paid a state visit to North Korea. The last time he visited the country was in 2000. Long gone are the days when Washington, D.C., Paris, Berlin, Rome, they'd all roll out the red carpet for Putin. He's a national chauvinist. He despises poor and small countries. He only lowers himself to North Korea because he's a supplicant. He wanted something pretty badly that he went there. So since the beginning of the war, I've been forecasting that North Korea would send troops to fight for Russia and Ukraine. Remember where you heard it first. North Korea views its people as expendable. They're all slaves of the Kim dynasty. North Korea is armed to the teeth, but it's mostly antiquated Soviet-era equipment. It's also got nuclear arms. But one of the reasons why people live in such abject impecuniosity is that almost all the money is spent on weaponry. Whereas South Korea's got very advanced weapon systems purchased from the USA, the South Korea's also got its own impressive military manufacturing industry. The Black Tiger tank of South Korean make is said to be one of the world's most formidable. But the Republic of Korea refused to provide military aid to Ukraine. It would send like tents and ready meals and flak jackets and so on. Most South Koreans were opposed to arming Ukraine. They said it wasn't need these arms themselves. They didn't wish to provoke Russia into inciting North Korea to aggress South Korea. But as Russia is helping North Korea anyway, this has made some South Koreans say, well, let's send lethal aid to Ukraine after all. Seoul said we held back from sending arms to Ukraine because we thought that'd be provocative. But Russia's already crossed that red line into boosting North Korea's arsenal. So therefore, we should show Russia that they will pay a price for it in order to deter them repeating this. So by sending arms to Ukraine, the South Koreans will be able to destroy their foes without risking any casualties themselves. So why should the Republic of Korea not arm Ukraine? The reason was, well, let's not do it because we'll provoke them and the Russians into helping North Korea. But Russia's doing it anyway, so there's nothing to lose. Anyway, before the war, Russia did a brisk trade with South Korea. So Moscow took pains not to be too helpful to the DPRK, lest it incur the wrath of Seoul. Sanctions mean the Russia does almost no commerce with South Korea anyway. Therefore, the Russians have calculated there's nothing to lose. They won't pay an economic price for helping DPRK break sanctions because, you know, South Korea can't punish them any further. So clearly the Ukraine war is not going well for Russia, is making minimal gains at the cost of several hundred casualties a day, about 500,000 casualties in the war so far, about 25% of those are deaths. Russia wants to avoid drafting too many men, which cause massive protests. Well, North Korea has provided Russia about over 3 million artillery shells since the war began. They're mostly Soviet manufacture. And these shipments have been vital in sustaining the Russian war effort. Sometimes they could fire 10 shells for every one the Ukrainians replied with. So anyway, Russia's got a population of 140 million and it's falling. Deaths well outpaced purse births. And there's very little immigration now. So over a million young Russians have emigrated since the war began. And the war is killing more Russian men, so there are fewer of them around to sire children. The economy is beginning to suffer. Sanctions in 2020 to hurt the economy are continuing to grow. They've doubled military spending since the war began. This boosted the economy in the short term, but it's unsustainable. The government's already announced tax rises and cuts to social welfare spending to kick in 2025. Russia had that $400 billion US dollar national wealth fund, and by the end of next year, they will have spent it all. Wages have risen. There's a labor shortage. This is aggravating inflation, which is 8%. The world's transition away from oil, gas and coal, they make up 60% of Russia's economy. A century from now, nobody will use hydrocarbons. So Moscow wants the North Koreans to do the fighting. They also want the coal from them. But North Koreans fighting will spare Russians from doing so. Russia's run out of men recruited in prison. Those who are capable of being used as cannon fodder have been used. So North Korea is happy to solidify relations with its ally. Until now, it's been almost totally dependent on China. But by enhancing relations with the Russian Federation, North Korea has demonstrated to Beijing that they got an alternative. Now, the People's Republic of China is not happy about Russia's deepening relationship with the DPRK. China views the DPRK as its satrapy. But Russia needs soldiers so badly, it's taking the risk of upsetting the Chinese. China's cruciality for Russia can hardly be overstated. For 15 years, it's been the biggest trade partner. China is the principal market for Russian hydrocarbons, and Chinese exports have helped Russia cope with being unable to buy many items due to Western sanctions. Chinese banks have helped Russia finance itself because it's been cut off from the world financial system. Now, North Korea is a peril to the US and her allies. South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan are American allies, and they're all well within range of North Korean missiles. North Korea is therefore a problem for the US and other countries. China believes it's a problem that it can turn up or down depending on how the US behaves on other issues. If the PRC can provide North Korea with more oil and fuel, encourage North Korea to be more aggressive, that'll be a way to penalize the Americans. But if the USA is behaving friendly, then the PRC can enforce sanctions against North Korea. That's enough for now. I've got to run to dinner. Goodbye.